Okay, so welcome to tonight's workshop. Tonight's workshop is all about emotional eating. The agenda. We're going to be talking about what causes emotional eating. We're going to talk about impulse control and what causes issues with impulse control, how impulse control issues may be affecting you. We're going to talk about what we can do to improve impulse control and to stop emotional eating. We're going to talk about CBT, that's cognitive behavioral therapy, and mindfulness. We're going to talk about hypnosis. We're going to talk about how hypnosis can help to overcome emotional eating. How hypnosis can help you to lose weight, get in better shape. And we'll be talking about neuroplasticity and how hypnosis can actually change your brain. At the end of tonight's workshop, I'll invite any questions or comments. Ask me anything you want. So impulse control, what is impulse control? Impulse control issues are common for people, especially people that grow up with dysfunctional families. Some estimates say that around 80% of the people grow up with some form of dysfunction. As children, we need what are known as good enough parents. A good enough parent is going to provide unconditional love, unconditional acceptance. Child's going to know that they're going to get their needs met no matter what. And they're going to be able to allow the child to develop their emotions. The child's going to look to their parents to model emotions for them, to show them what healthy emotions should look like. And impulse regulation ranges from over to under control. With people that have healthy personalities falling somewhere in the middle between those two extremes. So ideally, we want a healthy balance of between over and under control. We want to be in the middle. On the other hand, we need to control our impulses and to consider the consequences of acting on impulses. Having considered the consequences, we can then decide how to act. we're going to determine whether to allow ourselves to indulge in the impulse or whether to inhibit it. The inhibition of certain impulses enables us to behave in ways that are both responsible and socially acceptable. So during the COVID times, during the lockdowns, we were seeing a lot of extreme impulse control issues. People were buying all sorts of junk on Amazon. There was a rise in alcoholism. There was a rise in emotional eating. It was a difficult time for a lot of people. A Chinese study found that people with higher levels of self-control were more resilient to mental health issues during the pandemic, during the very severe lockdowns and things that they had in China. So people with extreme impulse control issues may become pyromaniacs, kleptomaniacs, and they're going to struggle to control their emotions. This is going to result in relationship issues, issues at work. It's It's estimated that around 10% of people suffer with some kind of impulse control disorder. So, do you over or under control your impulses generally? Let me know in the chat. Over, yeah, under. So there's a mixture. So now we come to emotional eating. Emotional eating is a common problem. Many people use substances to make themselves feel better, to try and suppress their emotions. And going back to childhood, we all become shamed out of our emotions to some degree. Society as a whole shames us out of our emotions. You know, schools don't like emotional children, so we learn to suppress our emotions. And people look to substances to suppress their emotions when they become adults. Food is the most common substance that people use to suppress their emotions. Emotional eating is using food to alleviate boredom, reduce stress, anxiety, or to reward yourself for something. Emotional eaters are often going to reach for junk food. They're going to reach for sugary treats and other comforting but unhealthy foods. So you might find yourself reaching for chocolate if you're feeling depressed or bored or lonely. Emotional eating usually makes us feel worse because the original emotional issue that you are eating to try and suppress still remains, but you're gonna feel guilty for eating too much junk food. Regular overeating obviously causes weight gain, which can lead to health and appearance issues, can lead to someone developing or increasing their low self-esteem. So relying on food or substances to cope with our emotions is going to stop us from connecting with our emotions and learning what they are trying to tell us, finding healthier ways to deal with them. Emotions aren't bad. Emotions are like warning lights on your dashboard. If you're driving along and a light comes on your dashboard, it's to let you know that there's an issue, that you need to get fuel or, you know, change the oil, whatever that light signifies. And emotions work the same way. We feel them for a purpose. Anxiety is a conditioned response. When a person experiences anxiety, they're actually moving into the fight or flight response. The symptoms of anxiety are designed to get them out of dangerous situations, such as sweating, to allow us to cool down in any kind of physical activity that our mind perceives may be coming. Your heart's gonna start pumping, getting the blood flow to your muscles so you can either fight back or run away. Likewise, anger is there to help us defend our boundaries. And anger is the first emotion that most of us become shamed out of as children. Without anger, it's a very dangerous emotion to alienate from ourselves because without anger, we're not going to be able to defend ourselves or our boundaries. We're going to take on more toxic shame. We're going to become more shamed out of our emotions. So when you try and suppress your emotions, that's when it causes issues. So, What kind of foods do you reach for when you're emotional eating? What's your favorite food to snack on when you're emotional eating? Let me know in the chat box. Yep, chocolate, ice cream, biscuits. It's always unhealthy foods that people tend to snack on when they're emotional eating. And I'll be talking more about that shortly. But right now, we're going to talk about toxic shame. Toxic shame is created when we internalize abuse, abandonment, or criticism. Again, shame is an emotion that serves a purpose, that it's designed to let us know when we need help, to allow us to function in society. When we're children, shame helps us separate from our parents. In a healthy way, it stops us from running off in the supermarket, causes us to listen to our parents. Toxic shame, on the other hand, is not a good thing. So, toxic shame, I spoke earlier about good enough parents. Most people don't have good enough parents because everyone carries their own trauma. Trauma is usually generational. Parents are generally going to parent the way they were parented. And without good enough parents, we're going to develop toxic shame. So, toxic shame can be created when you criticize a child as opposed to behavior choices they make. So, if a child makes a mess, telling them they're a messy child, as opposed to saying, look at the mess you made. So when we identify with shame-based models, abandonment, trauma, and negative memories, all this creates toxic shame. And when we feel toxic shame, we need to suppress it. Toxic shame can make us act in through addictions, self-harm, eating disorders, or it can cause us to act out on other people, to become narcissistic or abusive. So, if you want to find out about one-to-one therapy, you can book a call via my website. I will be sharing the link shortly. And you've already told me that you tend to crave biscuits, chocolate, cheese, crackers, when you're emotional eating. So, how do you know if you're an emotional eater? Emotional eating is if you eat when you're not hungry. So, do you eat when you're not hungry? If you do, that would be one of the signs that you're eating emotionally. If you eat when you're anxious or stressed, if you eat until you're stuffed, until, even until you feel sick, if you eat as a reward, if you treat food as a reward, if eating makes you feel safe, if you feel out of control around food, you just can't stop yourself. If there's crisps and chocolate in front of you just have to eat it. So, what's the difference between real hunger and emotional hunger? Real hunger comes on gradually and it can wait. So, physical hunger comes on over a longer period of time, and you don't feel like you have to eat right away. With emotional hunger, it's usually instant, and you feel like you can't wait. You just have to grab the first chocolate bar you can get your hands on. With physical hunger, it's about, sustenance. It's about nutrition. So all types of food are appealing. With emotional hunger, sugary, unhealthy foods are going to be appealing. Physical hunger stops when you're satiated. When you've ate enough, you can, put the food down. Eating for physical hunger doesn't make you feel guilty. It's a natural thing that we all need to do. You don't feel guilty about doing it. So the emotional eating cycle. You're going to experience a trigger, something that causes you to experience negative emotions. Feelings, you're going to then try and suppress those feelings with food. So you're going to eat. That's going to cause feelings of guilt. It's going to make you feel worse. And it becomes a vicious cycle because, you experience those triggers, you feel those feelings, you eat, you feel guilty, which makes you feel worse, which causes you to eat again, etc. And the more you repeat an action, the more entwined that action becomes. The more you do something, you're actually, creating stronger pathways in your brain, stronger neural pathways, which is going to make it more natural to do that thing. This is how habits form. So cognitive behavioral therapy, or CBT, as I said, these exercises I'm going to talk about now, they are going to be available in a workbook. If you'd like to receive the workbook, send me a direct message with your email address. CBT, so we have thoughts and we have feelings. Our thoughts influence our feelings, and our feelings can influence our thoughts. We have behaviors. Our behaviors are going to influence our feelings. They're also going to influence our thoughts. Our thoughts and feelings are going to influence our behaviors. Physical reactions are going to be influenced by our thoughts, feelings, and behaviors. And our thoughts, feelings, and behaviors will also be influenced by our physical reactions. So, systems theory says that by changing one part of the system, we can start to change all parts of the system. So if you feel yourself experiencing feelings of anxiety, and that causes you to eat emotionally to try and suppress those feelings, you can change that behavior. Maybe you could sit and meditate for 5 minutes. By changing that behavior, you're going to start to influence the feelings. You're going to start to change the thoughts that you're having that is causing those feelings. And you're going to start to notice that system changing. So any questions with regards to that, let me know in the chat box. Okay, fabulous. So emotional eating is a process, not a trait. It's something that you do. It's not who you are. And To prove this to you, we're going to do a little thought experiment. So, as I said, this is going to be in the workbook, but I'm going to talk you through it now. So, taking a deep breath in, breathing out, allowing your eyes to close. I'd like you to imagine yourself in a situation that you want to change right now, the situation in which you're currently experiencing those issues with food and emotional eating. What are your current thoughts in that situation? What are your feelings and how are your behaviors in that situation? Just take a moment to notice those things. Then open your eyes. Now, again, taking a deep breath in. And when you breathe in, breathing all the way down into your stomach. It's good to make the conscious effort to breathe into your stomach as much as possible. It's known as diaphragmatic breathing or belly breathing. If you do this, you'll notice yourself feeling calmer, more relaxed throughout the day. It's said that as children, we do this naturally, but for some reason, when we start school, we forget to do this and we start breathing more shallowly into our chest. Breathing into your chest is very bad for you. It can release all kinds of stress hormones, put you in that fight or flight state. So making the conscious effort to breathe into your stomach. If you watch someone sleeping, you'll notice it's their stomach that rises and falls as they breathe in and out. So belly breathing is how we breathe when we're relaxed. So now, taking a deep breath in all the way down into your stomach, allowing your eyes to close. And with your eyes closed, I'd like you to imagine how you'd like to be in that situation. What will change? How will your thoughts change? How will your feelings change? How will your behaviors change in that situation? What will you be noticing? What will you be doing differently? And then when you're ready, you can open your eyes. Come all the way back to the here and now. And we will move on. So another exercise is CBT for emotions. So I spoke about how all emotions serve a purpose. Carl Jung said, what resists not only persists, but becomes stronger. At least I think it was Carl Jung. So the more you try and fight against an emotion, same with negative thoughts, the more you try and fight against a negative thought, the more attention, the more energy you're giving that negative thought or negative feeling, the stronger it's going to become. So this exercise is going to allow you to reconnect with your emotions, to allow them to be, to not try and fight them. So what you want to do is to put into Google emotion wheel or emotion chart. It's going to bring up a big wheel of emotions. In the middle of that wheel, you will find your core emotions. They are happy, sad, angry, anxious. Set an alarm to go off 4 or 5 times a day. When that alarm sounds, check in with yourself. Ask yourself, what am I feeling right now? And look for more specific feelings within the emotion. So if it's anxiety that you're feeling, what's that anxiety about? Is it because you're scared? If it's anger, what's the anger about? Is it because you're experiencing rage? Ask yourself, is this feeling appropriate? So if you're feeling anxious, is there any evidence that you should be anxious? Of course, if there is an immediate threat, you need to deal with that immediate threat. But if there isn't any immediate threat, asking yourself, you know, what's the evidence that there is this threat? Is there a lion or a tiger in my living room right now? If there isn't, you can just allow the feeling to be. Rate the feeling on a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being not too bad, 10 being terrible. What caused the feeling? So starting to identify, you know, what could be triggering you, what could be causing you to feel negative feelings, what increases the feeling, what reduces the feeling, and what thoughts are related to the feeling. So the more you do this, the more you'll start to connect with your emotions, the more you'll be able to start to accept your emotions as opposed to trying to suppress them. And when you do find yourself in a situation where you get triggered and you may have reverted to emotional eating in the past, you'll be able to do this naturally. It will just become like second nature for you to do this, and you'll notice that you'll stop needing to rely on emotional eating to try and suppress those emotions. So does anyone have any questions with regards to that? Let me know in the chat. Yeah, absolutely. It's all about habit and changing those habits. Absolutely. Okay. Something else you can do is to practice mindfulness. So when we talk about mindfulness, people tend to think that that means emptying your mind and not having any thoughts at all. Mindfulness doesn't mean that. Mindfulness is about experience. It's about accepting everything that is. It's not about any particular kind of experience. It's not about feeling, you know, floaty. It's about noticing what you're feeling and accepting it. Accepting all experience without judgment. And change is the only constant. There's, you know, many things in life that we can't be sure of. The only thing that we can be sure of is change and death and taxes, according to my granddad. So mindfulness is about noticing your thoughts, noticing your feelings, noticing that you're not your thoughts and your feelings. They are separate from you. Mindlessness is about constantly being controlled by your thoughts and feelings. About detaching, becoming an observer, and being present. A man called Lao Tzu allegedly said that depression is living in the past, anxiety is living in the future, and peace is living in the present. Mindfulness is about connecting to the present moment. So why should you practice mindfulness? Mindfulness has many benefits. It can reduce stress, it can reduce anxiety and depression. It can improve your ability to focus. In the modern world, we're constantly being distracted by notifications on our phone, social media, etc. TikTok comes under a lot of criticism from the government because they have very short videos, which is kind of training people to have a very short attention span. By practicing mindfulness, you can increase your focus and improve your ability to concentrate, improve your attention span. If you don't use it, you lose it. People who practice mindfulness have better emotional regulation, and they're able to have more considered reactions to stimuli. People who regularly practice mindfulness have been shown to have more empathy, more understanding. Better health. You can have a reduced risk of heart disease, lower pain because you're going to have less inflammation in your body and lower blood pressure. So mindfulness is going to increase your ability to act freely. And another Carl Jung quote, I believe, Carl Jung said that when people aren't aware of their trauma, they live their life mindlessly and call it fate. Mindfulness is about, as I said, becoming more aware, more present. And mindfulness allows us to be at cause as opposed to effect. So by practicing mindfulness, you will be able to, you'll move away from that cycle that Carl Jung said where you live your life mindlessly and call it fate. You'll be able to start creating your own fate. And it improves your awareness. If you don't use it, you lose it. And there are many things in life that we can't control. We can only control how we react to them. So by giving up control, by becoming less attached to outcomes, we actually start to have more control over things that are going on in our lives. And as I said previously, change is the only constant, and everything passes with observation. So by practicing mindfulness, if you find yourself having an urge or a craving to eat, you can just observe that urge and notice that it passes. This is called urge surfing, and it can be a very effective way of changing unwanted habits, unwanted behaviors. So does anyone have any questions with regards to any of that? Let me know in the chat box. Yep, absolutely. Allowing yourself to have emotions. Yes. As I said, what resists not only persists, but becomes stronger. So the more you try and fight against an emotion, the stronger they're going to become. Just like those warning lights on your dashboard, if you, you know, if you don't pay attention to that warning light, you keep driving, eventually you're going to break down. You know, the problem's going to get more severe. It's the same with emotions. If you try and suppress them, they're going to keep trying harder to alert you to whatever it is that they're trying to alert you to. So there's lots of different ways that you can practice mindfulness. It's not about relaxation or achieving a state of trance. It's about connecting to the present moment by observing thoughts and sensations without judgment. And again, it's about realizing that you're not your thoughts, you're not your emotions. So you can do sitting meditation. You can do walking meditation. You can walk outside, listen to the sound of birds in the trees, become mindful of your feet touching the floor as you're walking along. You can do a body scan meditation, scanning all parts of your body. Doing a body scan meditation can be very relaxing. It can really be a good thing to do before sleep to scan around all parts of your body. Imagine breathing in relaxation to all the parts of your body. And it can be a very effective way to get to sleep if you suffer with insomnia or sleep issues. Urge surfing, which I spoke about earlier, noticing cravings, noticing emotions, and allowing them to pass. Everything passes with observation. So, emotional freedom technique, or EFT as it's known, is a tapping. It works on the basis of Chinese medicine. Chinese believe in qi energy, or life force in Indian culture. I believe they call it prana. They believe it flows around the body through meridian points. EFT involves tapping those meridian points, kind of like acupuncture, but without the needles. And as I said, there is the full EFT recipe that will be available in the workbook. So I'm not going to show you the full EFT recipe, as they call it right now. But I will show you a couple of pressure points that you can use. So the first pressure point is on the side of the hand, the fleshy part on the side of the hand. If you just rub there, you should notice that you find that quite soothing. So when you find yourself at these kind of things, they're very helpful to know if you suffer with panic attacks or anxiety. I use this when I have to travel on the tube or the metro, as people who aren't from the UK would call it, because I don't like traveling on the metro. And it's not a very comfortable place to be. So I tend to, you know, rub this pressure point here. Allows me to stay calm, to stay relaxed. And it's a very discreet way of doing that. another point you can use is called the nine gamut point in Chinese medicine. It's located between the tendons of the little finger and the ring finger. You can do it on either hand. If you rub in there, you should feel that it feels a little bit sore. And if you feel that, then that means you've got the nine gamut point. Again, that's a very discreet spot that you can rub to alleviate any kind of negative feelings, any kind of anxiety that you may be experiencing. Does anyone have any questions with regards to any of that? Let me know in the chat box. Fantastic. Okay, so going back to the presentation. So, starting on the 28th of January, I have a 4 week inner child program. It's a group program, so it consists of four group coaching sessions. All the sessions are recorded. So if you miss a session, you can watch the recordings back. Some people like to download the recordings and watch them back, after the program is finished as a little reminder of the program. There's a Facebook group where I've put lots of content to help with negative self-talk, emotional eating, and of course, inner child work. We're going to do weekly exercises to reconnect with all ages of the inner child, from infant to adolescent. And at the end of every week, we do a hypnosis session to visualize and connect with the inner child. Doing this kind of work can reduce anxiety, increase self-esteem, confidence. It can allow you to control your impulses and reconnect with your emotions. If you want to find out more about the inner child program, you can do so via the second link I just put in the chat box. If you book a call with me via the first link, I'll give you a big discount on the inner child program. So it's currently listed on my website for £225. If you book a call with me, I'll give you a big discount on that price. You can also see feedback from people that have done the inner child program previously. So now we come to a question. Who wants to try some hypnosis? Let me know in the chat box if you want to try some hypnosis. Fantastic. Okay, so hypnosis is a perfectly natural state. It's something that we all experience several times during the course of a day. If you've ever driven somewhere, gotten to your destination, and not remembered the journey, that would be an example of hypnosis. Whether being watching TV, zoned out, lost track of time, whether you were watching finished and you thought, wow, where did all that time go? I have to go to bed already. That would be an example of hypnosis. So it's a focused state of attention. Because it's a focused state of attention, it contains the elements of mindfulness that I spoke about earlier. And many of the benefits of mindfulness can be derived through hypnosis. Hypnosis can also be a very relaxing experience. And I spoke about how we become shamed out of our emotions as children. I spoke about how most people grow up with some form of dysfunction. Doesn't have to be extreme dysfunction. Just growing up in an environment where there's a lot of arguing, child's going to internalize that. They're going to think it means there's something wrong with them. When we grow up with dysfunction like that, as most people do, it's going to cause the emotional part of your brain, the amygdala, to actually increase in size. And the thinking part of your brain is going to decrease in size, which is going to make you more prone to issues with emotional regulation or regulating your emotions. Because hypnosis is relaxing, it actually allows you to shrink the size of the emotional part of your brain, to increase the size of the thinking part of your brain. So I would recommend having a regular relaxation practice. It's, you know, I would recommend that to anyone taking an hour a day to do something you find relaxing. That could be listening to hypnosis recordings, practicing mindfulness, you know, doing whatever you find calming, gardening, playing golf, etc. So those are the benefits of hypnosis. Another big benefit of hypnosis is that your mind can't tell the difference between a real or an imagined event. So just by imagining yourself the way you want to be, it actually creates new neural pathways in your brain. The more you imagine yourself that way, the stronger those neural pathways become. And shortly, we're going to have a little break. In that break, I'm going to ask everyone to think about what is going to be different for them when they are no longer emotional eating, when they are no longer eating emotionally. But first of all, we're going to do a couple of exercises. So what I'd like you to do is to hold your hands out in front of you like so, keeping your arms straight. Turn your left hand with your palm facing up. Keep your right hand with your palm facing down. Take a deep breath in, breathing all the way down into your stomach. As you breathe out, allowing your eyes to close. And with your eyes closed, I'd like you to just imagine, only imagine, that in your left hand, we've placed some heavy books. And those heavy books are weighing down on that left hand. And that left hand is sinking lower and lower. To your right hand, we've tied some helium balloons. Those helium balloons are rising up, taking your right hand with them. So your left hand is sinking lower as your right hand is rising up. Don't try to resist or assist it in any way. Just imagine those heavy books in that left hand sinking lower and lower. In the right hand, there's those balloons, and those balloons are rising up, taking the right hand with them. Just imagine that now. Sometimes when we do this exercise, people tell me that they can feel their left hand becoming tired and sleepy, as though they're really holding those heavy books. And then when you're ready, you can open your eyes, noticing where your hands are, noticing the difference between your hands. And if you notice the difference between those hands, let me know in the chat box. Excellent. This is the power of visualization. Your mind can't tell the difference between a real or an imagined event. And now we are going to do another exercise. So again, I'd like you to take a deep breath in. You breathe out, allowing your eyes to close. With your eyes closed, I'd like you to just imagine, only imagine, that you're walking into your kitchen. There, on the side, in your kitchen, is a nice bowl of juicy citrus fruits. It could be oranges or lemons. It could be grapefruits or limes, whatever kind of citrus fruits you like. I'd like you to just imagine there's a nice bowl of juicy ones in your kitchen right now. And what we're going to do in just a moment, I'd like you to just imagine picking up one of those fruits, placing it safely and securely on a cutting board, cutting into that fruit. If you're cutting into that fruit, those juices are squirting out, those citrusy smells are filling the air, the juices are running down onto that cutting board, creating a little puddle of juice underneath that fruit. Just imagine that now, reaching out your hand, placing it safely and securely on a cutting board, safely and securely taking a knife, cutting into that fruit, those juices squirting out. And now cutting into that fruit again. So we're creating a nice bite-sized wedge. Again, those juices are squirting out, those citrusy smells are filling the air. Just imagine that now. And now we have that wedge of fruit. I'd like you to just imagine picking it up, maybe shaking off any excess juices, lifting it up towards your face and smelling those citrusy smells, placing it in your mouth, biting down. As you're biting down on that fruit, all those flavors are exploding in your mouth. Citrusy flavors are tingling your taste buds. Juices are running out, they're running down your face, and dripping off your chin. Just imagine that now. And if that exercise made your mouth water, let me know in the chat box. Fantastic. Just the power of visualization. As I said, your mind can't tell the difference between a real or an imagined event. Just by imagining yourself the way you want to be, you actually create new neural pathways in your brain. The more you imagine yourself that way, the stronger those neural pathways become. So what we're going to do, we're going to have a little break. And as I said, in the break, I'd like everyone to consider what is going to be different for them when they are no longer emotionally eating. What will you notice when you notice that emotional eating is no longer a problem for you? And not just what will, you know, you be experiencing, like weight loss, what will you be noticing in your day-to-day life? Will you be noticing yourself maybe going for walks more? Will you be noticing yourself taking time to meditate, to do something that you find relaxing, as I said previously, gardening or golf or something? What will be different for you? Let me know in the chat box. And then when we come back after the break, I'm going to take the things you tell me in the chat box and I'm going to build them in to the hypnosis session so you can actually visualize yourself that way, create those new neural pathways in your brain and start to become that person. So seeing everyone again at 8:05 UK time when we're going to do the hypnosis. That is in about 7 minutes approximately. Seeing everyone again in 7 minutes time when we're going to do the hypnosis session. And if you haven't already and you'd like to receive a copy of the workbook and the recording, please send me a direct message with your email address and I will send it out to you in the coming days. Okay, so did everyone have a chance to think about what's going to be different for them when they're not emotional eating? If you'd like to let me know in the chat box. Fantastic. Okay, so in about 30 seconds, we're going to begin the hypnosis. As I said, hypnosis is a perfectly natural state. It's not something I do to you, something I do with your cooperation. As long as you follow along with my instructions, listen to the sound of my voice, you can have no problem going into a state of hypnosis. You can have no problem making positive and lasting changes in your life. And if we should become disconnected at any time, you can just wake up like you've had a nice, relaxing sleep. Click the Zoom link and we'll all be right here. So, settling back, making yourselves comfortable, you can listen to this part of the workshop, either sitting or lying down. It's entirely up to you how you choose to go into a state of trance. Starting off, later, take some deep breaths in, breathing all the way down into your stomach. And we're going to start today's hypnosis session with your eyes open. So I'd like you to maybe find a point out on the wall or the ceiling in front of you. It could be the point where the wall meets the ceiling. Just allowing your eyes to focus on that point as you continue breathing deeply. Breathing all the way down into your stomach. If any thoughts come into your mind, you can just notice them. Allow your attention to return to that. Some point you're going to notice that your eyelids start to become tired and heavy. They're going to want to close down as if all by themselves. But right now, I'd like you to just keep focusing on that. Breathing deeply. Maybe you can imagine tiny weights attached to those eyelids, pulling them down. Maybe you'll start to notice that your blinks are slowing down. Wondering if that blink was slower than the previous blink. At some point, those eyelids are going to close down as if all by themselves. With your eyes closed, you can really begin to relax, let go, allowing your unconscious mind to take more and more control. Your conscious mind needn't mind as your unconscious becomes more alert and more awake. All the most powerful, lasting changes you've made in your life, you've made it an unconscious level. You're able to change from a baby to a child, from a child to an adult. You do all this without thinking about it. And your unconscious mind is always looking to protect you, keep you safe. You're sleeping deeply, an alarm sounds, you're unconscious. Mind knows to wake you. Now, you really can relax. Drifting deeper and deeper. I wonder if you'll start to notice all the tiny muscles in your forehead releasing, letting, forehead smoothing out. You relax deeper and relaxation flowing down into your eyes and your eyelids, all the way down your face, into your cheeks and your jaw. Waves of relaxation flowing all the way down from the top of your head to the very tips of your toes. Deeper and deeper. In a moment, I'd like you to imagine yourself standing safely and securely in an elevator. It's the elevator of relaxation. This elevator, there's three buttons. Maybe you can imagine some nice soothing elevator music playing in the background. This elevator, when we press the first button, that relaxation is going to increase even more. The second button is going to double the relaxation from there, and the third button is going to take you all the way down. All the way down into the very depths of trance, very basement of hypnosis, maybe becoming the most relaxed you've ever been. I wonder if you can remember the most relaxed you've ever been, the most comfortable and calm you've ever felt. Pressing that first button. Drifting deeper and deeper. Now the second button, and the more you relax, the deeper you go. The deeper you go, the more you can relax. And as a person starts to enter a state of trance, a state in which positive change can occur, they can start to notice that tiny muscles and tendons in the arms and legs begin to twitch a little as they release any tension. In a moment, we're going to press the third button. We're going to go all the way down. And when those elevator doors open, you're going to find yourself stepping out onto a beach on a warm and sunny day. A beautiful sandy beach. Waves washing against the shore. That's right. So pressing that third button. Going all the way. All the way down. Those elevator doors opening. Stepping out onto that. Feeling the warm, wet sand beneath your toes. The different smells, the smell of the sea air, maybe sun cream. The sounds of waves washing against the shore. Some traffic off in the distance. Walking along the seashore. leaving footprints in that wet. The waves washing, picking up those grains of sand and swirling them round, placing them down, washing away those footprints. And in this place, you can find a place to settle, to relax even. Maybe you can imagine a lovely sun lounger, cool drink by your side, beads of condensation running down the outside of that. The kind of day when you can lie back with your eyes closed and still see that warm sunlight shining through your eyes. Drifting up out of that version of you that's relaxing. Looking back, noticing how relaxed you look, how calm and comfortable you look. Drifting up higher and higher. Maybe you can get a sense of yourself safely and securely supported in a warm and fleecy cloud. And drifting towards that version of you that's relaxing there on that beach. You can see another cloud, but this cloud is different. To this cloud, you feel a connection in some way. Almost as though this cloud's being drawn towards you like a magnet. Maybe you can imagine lines or threads connecting you to this. Drawing closer and closer till it finally stops overhead. This cloud is going to start to draw up anything you want to let go. Anything related to that old stuff is going to be drawn up into this cloud. That's right. Your unconscious mind can give you a sign that it's releasing those old things. It could be a twitch of a finger or thumb. It could be an increased feeling of lightness. Comfort, almost as though a weight has been lifted from your shoulder. As this cloud draws up more and more of that stuff, it's going to start to become larger, darker. Releasing more and more of that stuff into that. That's right, that cloud becoming larger and darker as it draws up more and more. Rumbles of thunder. Flashes of lightning can start occurring within that cloud. Your unconscious mind is releasing that stuff. That's Once that cloud has drawn up all of that stuff, it can start to move. Those lines and threads can begin to stretch and break, and that cloud can start drifting off out to sea, becoming smaller and smaller as it goes. Those rumbles of thunder becoming quieter as that cloud drifts off. Drifting off over the oceans. So taking all that stuff with it, never to be seen again. The cloud can release that stuff into those oceans. The tides and currents can come and go. Dilute those things even further. And after a rainstorm on a sunny day, there's that kind of smell in the air, fresh. You can just continue relaxing. Maybe you can start to picture a future version of you. Seeing a future version of you. A version of you that's lighter, more energized, more productive, healthier. More confident, maybe you can see that future, more confident version of you on that beach, looking good, stepping into that version of you, seeing through their eyes, feeling what you feel. I wonder what you'll notice when you notice freedom, better health. Maybe you'll be standing just a little taller with more confidence. All of the vertebrae in your spine comfortably making adjustments to allow you to stand just a little taller. Really experiencing that now. And in front of that version of you, there's an even leaner, even stronger, even healthier version of you. Stepping into that version of you, seeing through their eyes, feeling what you feel, noticing how good you can. In the coming days, you're going to start to notice things. Things that let you know that things have begun to change. That you have begun to change. So when you notice those things, you can remember this time and get a sense of yourself smiling, either there or then. The more you notice those things, the better you can feel. The better you feel, the more you can notice those things. In a moment, I'm going to count from one to five. And when I reach to number five, you can come all the way back to the here and now, noticing how good you feel. One, maybe allowing the feeling to return to your feet, wiggling those toes. Two, as that energy flows up your body. Three, flowing down your arms into your hands. Maybe you'd like to wiggle those fingers. Four, and on the next number, you can open your eyes, feeling fantastic in every way. Five, eyes open, wide awake, and maybe you'd like to stretch and sigh. And if you like that, let me know in the chat box. Excellent. Fantastic. Excellent. Fantastic. Thank you. You've been a great audience. And in the chat box now, I've pasted some links. Again, first link to book a free call with me if you want to find out about one-to-one therapy, or if you want to get a special price on the Inner Child Program. Second link, you can see more about the Inner Child Program. The third link is to my Facebook group, which is a free group. In my Facebook group, you can find lots of content to help with anxiety. I try and add things in there regularly. So have a look at the group, sign up to the group. You can find a link on my website to see upcoming events. You can see a link to my YouTube channel. And the final link is to my Facebook page. Please give that a like and a follow. And as I said, if you want to receive a copy of the workbook and the recording for tonight's event, please send me a direct message with your email address. I'll be here for a couple more minutes if you want to do that. If you have any questions, anything you'd like to know, please let me know in the chat box. Any questions or anything at all? How do you direct message? At the bottom of the chat, you'll see a little blue button. If you click on that button, it'll bring up a list of names. One of those names will be mine. You click on that name, and then you can send me a direct message. Excellent. Okay, so the workbook will be sent out probably tomorrow, certainly by the end of the week. Thank you, everyone. As I said, have a look at those links. If you like tonight's workshop, please leave positive feedback on the Meetup group. That will be very helpful. We will really appreciate that. And I hope to see you all again. Thank you very much and good night.